Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Corey, what's happening, man?
What's the deal? How's everybody doing this morning? Glad to be here. Here we go, Super Bowl week. Wish we was at our radio row at Mall of America's, but that's not the case. We're in the confines of Studio 34, but we'll have just as much fun as they're having out there. As while we're on the air, when they get off the air, they'll probably have a better time than when we
Radio Row this year in the food court of Mall. At the Mall of America.
I didn't know it was in the food court.
I'd be eating like crazy. And I blame the king for not getting us the credentials.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, the countdown clock has begun. Super Bowl week is here. You know, I'm waiting for it to continue. This line has continually gone down. So I'm waiting for my time to pounce on the Patriots.
It was waiting and waiting. It just keeps going the right direction for you.
Playing the patience game.
It's smart. What is it right now?
I think it's 4.5 now. It's pretty much widely.
What are you waiting until it gets down to 3.5 so you can buy the half a point?
You know it.
I know my friends here. That's what it is. It just keeps going and going and going down. How about that? Very
interesting.
I'm
looking to put a substantial wager if I can get it at 3.
If you can get it at 3, you'll put a substantial wager on it.
I mean, Nick Foles versus Belichick and Brady.
2 weeks to prepare.
Yeah, you know.
But they should have lost their last 4 Super Bowls in a row. They haven't though.
They do play close. That's the scary.
Yeah, they do play. It's going to come down to the final possession or somewhere in that area. So I'm not really thrilled about it, but it'll be all right.
As Matt said, the line for this game is now down to 4.5. He opened at 6 immediately. Dropped to 5.5.
You know what I'm pissed about is if you took the Eagles
immediately.
Immediately got the 6. Now you get it down to like 3 or 4. You get that middle. If you get 3 and you get that middle, that's 4 or 5 points. That's a real possibility.
That's actually really, really interesting. That you able to hit both?
24-20.
That's good right there.
He's shaking his head like, wow.
28-24.
Counting dollar signs everywhere.
What about the situation? Do you see this dude put a $3 million bet on the Eagles?
I did.
Do they say who that dude was?
It's the same dude that been in the World Series all those games. Kept letting it ride, letting it ride, letting it
same
ride.
Same cat. Okay.
Same dude.
I tell you, everybody's taking the Eagles.
Everybody's taking the Eagles. Interesting.
Making me want to take the pictures even more.
It's interesting. It's interesting. For later on this week, I know Corey did it last week on the Frenzy. We're probably going to do it Thursday or Friday. We'll have all the prop bets. We're going to go through. I know you did a bunch of them last week. I'll have a whole list of them for later on this week that we'll do on RotoWatch.
And if Justin Timberlake doesn't come out with the dog sled.
Janet at 200-1 is amazing. Yeah, that might be the best bet on the board. Janet at 200-1.
No chance.
What? You don't think Janet?
No. No chance.
Why not?
NFL is not fun like that.
Slip the nip.
NFL is not fun like that. Did you guys watch the Pro Bowl last night?
Huh?
I was listening to it on the radio for briefly.
Well, let's talk about the Pro Bowl then. When we come back, NBA coming up this hour too. Corey's just shrugging like, why do we have to do this, Greg? This is what's going through his mind. Why do we have to do this? Well, we'll talk about it next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Hold on a second. They fired, son.
They fired him?
The dude that said it got fired.
After Brady left the show?
Oh, that's, I mean, not for nothing. It's pretty stupid.
Well, we got to bring the audience in on this.
Yeah.
Corey, an insider source at WEEI has confirmed that Alex Rima has been fired for inappropriate comments about Tom Brady's daughter. That was an hour ago.
Well, you took off Brady.
Well, that's pretty stupid on his part.
Correct.
When you have Tom Brady on your show, you don't talk about negative about his family, whether it's right or wrong. You don't lose the GOAT. So I don't blame his boss for saying, you know what, son? You're out the door.
Yeah, but he could have said that kind of in...
I don't know exactly what he said. So in fairness, I don't know the exact
He said
comment.
They were talking about the Time versus Time documentary. Mm-hmm. Tom versus Time. Excuse me, dialect. Documentary. And he was talking about a scene where Tom Brady was in the kids with the was in the kitchen with his kids, and he was like, "I know he didn't want something with his child there being an annoying little piss ant."
Once again, if you like your job, would you make that comment? I don't think so. If Tom Brady's coming on your station and coming on your show, to me that's just foolish.
Yeah, I think kids should be off limits anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Kids are off limits.
Yeah, kids are off.
Kids are off limits.
Was
the worst thing the dude could have said? No.
No, exactly.
No.
No, but they got you know
quick
better.
Hammer on that one, though.
You tick off Tom Brady when you were probably the flagship station of the Patriots.
For a dude to get fired over that, that's a lot.
But he should know better than to say that. That's just you. It would be like if we had a pro athlete every week coming on the show. So we had Nick Foles. We didn't have Tom Brady.
Oh,
Nick Foles came on. And I said something disparaging about his family. Yeah. He's like, you know what? I'm not going back on the show.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'll be sitting here the next day.
Wow. That's crazy.
I'll probably be yanked that segment.
It's like if we was interviewing Andy Dalton every week and he was like, oh, them little redhead kids. You know what I'm saying? You know,
fireballs running around.
I mean, it's also interviewing Hugh Jackson instead of making fun of Hugh. You make fun of Hugh's kids. And that, you know, you don't do that.
It's just, look.
I just think that was.
You got to have more common sense.
I think that commentary was tongue in cheek, though. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he meant anything negative about that.
What if they said it about your daughter?
If
you want to show it, like,
I think Corey says about his own daughter.
It's different what you say about your daughter.
Yeah. That's their minds. No, I feel what you're saying on that. You do want the children to be left out.
Right.
I think kids are off limits.
I think it's a fair point, right? If someone says something, either of your children, you.
Okay, well, what about this scenario? Now, since we're talking about this, and not to hijack a segment, you know what I'm saying? But we was going to be talking about the Pro Bowl anyway. But not to hijack. So what about, okay, so you want to say, okay, kids off limits.
Right.
What about wives?
So I knew that was going to come.
If wives are off limits, then specifically wives like Aisha Curry,
right,
who have said things about what's going on the court.
Right.
And then what about Raleigh Curry? Curry off limits, or is Raleigh Curry a celebrity?
Raleigh Curry's off limits.
Okay.
1,000% Raleigh Curry's off limits.
I would always stick to the player. Okay. I think that's just the best.
Listen, I think when you make yourself part of the story, you become the story, right? So when, like, Miko Grimes says something,
yeah,
that's a story. Because she said something about... She mouthed off at the coach. She mouthed off at players on Brent Grimes' team. Yeah, that's a story, right? Giselle says something about Wes Welker not being able to catch the effing ball. That's a story.
But if she's Kurt Warner's wife...
If you say something about what's going on the field, you put yourself in the line, story.
Yeah, exactly.
In the story.
I don't know. How about this? I don't have any children, but if I had a daughter and somebody referred to her as a pissant,
yeah,
or something like that,
yeah,
I'm going to be furious.
Absolutely.
I'm going to slap that person.
Absolutely. But I think we are all in agreement
with
that.
We're all in agreement.
We all agree with that. Children are awful.
Okay, so but even celebrity.
But if we're all in agreement with that.
Yeah.
That guy's a fool for saying it.
But
yeah,
no doubt.
I agree.
And I see why the station fires him, but I'm like, wow, that's a...
But the station's like, we just lost Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's
so
true, too.
So you're choosing between Tom Brady and or this guy.
Exactly.
He's
so
going to lose every time.
An asset or a liability, and he made himself a liability. Now, back to the wives thing. I think the wives are off limits, but wives like Aisha Curry, Giselle, that put themselves in it,
I agree.
They open game at that point.
You're open game for certain things. If he would have opened up and it would have been Giselle like yelling at Brady to take out the trash or something like that,
mm-hmm,
and he calls Giselle an annoying little pissant,
that's too much.
That's too much too.
Yeah, that's too much.
It has nothing to do with what's on the field.
I personally would want to have a conversation with my wife. Like, see, I don't get involved with my wife's job.
Yeah,
right.
And I wouldn't want her to get involved with my job.
Right.
There's no reason. You know, you're just going to put yourself in a situation that's a no-win situation.
Yeah,
I mean, what if I commented about my wife's job and I went to her boss or some of her employees and started saying stuff?
No, I feel what you're saying.
This is not a sexist
but
kind of thing.
I know, I get what you're saying. Know? But when Aisha Curry makes comments on, oh, that's ridiculous. What was the thing she said last year, a couple years ago during the finals? Like when LeBron said he took the high road and she was like the high road stepping over an opponent that's laying down, like kind of get out of here type
something
thing.
Something like that, yeah.
But she's injecting herself.
At that point.
No, I agree.
Then
part of the story.
She's part of the story,
sure.
You know?
But that's where, if I'm Steph, I have to have.
But see, then again, you'll have some people that say, okay, well, why should she have to, you know, play the background and be quiet? Why can't she have her opinion?
She can say whatever she can say, but if I'm a player, I don't need that. That's just more of a distraction and more, you know, that's my point. If I went into, say my wife worked in an office and I went into her place of business, went to somebody's cubicle, ripping one of our employees. Like, you suck. You know, you didn't get that thing in on time.
Yeah.
But, you know, and my wife had to hear about it.
Yeah.
She got blamed.
Yeah, no.
That's just, I'm just trying to put it in a perspective where everybody else can understand it.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I don't know. I think it's touchy, you know what I'm saying?
No, it's definitely touchy.
I think it's real touchy. Because then you can't, like, if I want to, like, so, because you almost get to a point where you're saying, okay, well, you can't comment on the game because you're a wife. You feel what I'm saying? Or you're a female. I think that's a thin line right there.
If we were talking about, say, let's do a female athlete.
Yeah.
And her husband came out and said, you know what?
Absolutely.
She got, started calling the opponent, whatever.
Yeah.
All this and that. It's the same thing.
Okay.
You shouldn't be saying that as well.
I agree.
So I want to make that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's what I think you get into a point where, you know, the lines can get blurred because you don't want to come across like you're saying, okay, well, you can't comment on it because you're
like
a woman.
My wife walked in the studio and said, Scott, stop talking that foolishness.
We'd be like, she's right.
would you like to join the table? But it's true. But it's true, right? Like, when you are a spouse or you are a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you're supporting your significant other,
take the sex out of it.
I haven't said anything like that, right? You take that out. You're supporting your significant other, mm-hmm, male, female, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In the athletic space, that is when you put yourself in, you know, inside the media's grasp in a way.
Exactly. And at that point, when you do that, you got people that's going to come for you.
Correct.
Because
Tom Brady's child did not put herself.
She was just like, wasn't there.
Let's say like Aaron Judge's girlfriend, right? Like Aaron Judge's girlfriend, you know, posts pictures with Aaron Judge, tweets how much she loves Aaron Judge. And that's awesome. You are not part of the story when you're just cheering on your boyfriend, right? There's no story. All you're doing is saying, you're great, I love you, you're doing awesome. There is no story here.
But now,
whatsoever.
If you tweet, what the hell is Girardi doing moving him down
correct.
In the lineup?
No, that's a story.
Then at that point.
He's better than Stanton.
Yeah,
you know
then
saying?
At that point.
Correct.
Then you're open game.
Absolutely.
You're open game at that point.
Absolutely.
And people in the media, they want you to do that so they can come for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is what
because it's better than talking about the Pro Bowl.
Like, I'm sure, and I haven't looked into it because it's the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
But there may have been significant others at the Pro Bowl tweeting about this.
I didn't see it. Drew Brees' kids.
Yeah, Drew Brees' kids awesome. Were mixing it up on his sons were mixing it up on the
they
sideline.
They should have flew them to the Grammys and had them on stage. That was good.
But other than that, yeah, I just find that interesting. So, you know, that this thing, like, kids, I think, are always off limits. Even the celebrity kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Curry kids and stuff like that, where you see them and stuff like that. I don't think it should be. Even as they get grown, you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
You know, if you're in...
You're a child.
Okay, but what about somebody like Shaq's son, who is about to be in college? See,
Let him become like a pro athlete and stuff. Look, he's getting into college, and then maybe now Shaq's son goes to college and starts coming out on stuff and making statements. Then, you know, then at that point, he's a man.
Yeah, exactly.
And he fends for himself.
Let me ask this to bring it exactly what you want to talk about, Corey. Is, like, LaMelo off limits? For asking LaMelo about his dad's antics? Lonzo's not, because Lonzo's a professional athlete. Right?
I think until he reaches that point, he is.
So, LaMelo's off limits, you're
saying?
How
old is LaMelo?
LaMelo's 16. 16 or 17?
16.
Yeah, let him become 18 at least, you know. I don't think you really should be going after
he
him.
He doesn't say much anyway.
He doesn't, but you're going to...
When I was in high school,
face.
Nah, he said a lot of stupid...
Yeah, at the LaMelo, I don't think LaMelo's off limits.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he's off limits.
I don't think so.
16 years old is tough.
But LeVar made it so.
Look, you blame the father.
Yeah.
You go after the father. You don't go after the kid.
I think you have every right to go after Lonzo. I think he's a professional athlete.
Yeah, no. We've heard of him.
Yeah, the middle
athlete,
son had the situation in China, so he's fair game.
I agree.
LaMelo, 16 years old, hasn't done anything.
16 years old to be done.
That's
at least be of age, 18.
Okay. All right, so we got through that without talking about the Pro Bowl, so good go
nice.
Us.
Oh, here right, we go. Next
job,
segment.
Nice job. All right, we'll talk about the NBA from last night when we come back. It's Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
We're back here on Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Are you, Corey, are you excited for this Andre the Giant documentary HBO?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm signing up for HBO now just so I can see this Andre the Giant documentary and then cancel it. Well, I like to watch real time too. Whoops, sorry, Matt. Probably. Whoa. Matt's like that.
He's no modern shot.
When is Roseanne back?
Huh?
When is real time?
I think it came back
this past week.
This past weekend.
Okay.
What are we talking about? Andre the Giant documentary. Yeah, I do want to see. I do want. Didn't Bill Simmons do it?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's been trying to do it for years.
Okay.
And finally got it done.
So it's interesting. Obviously, Andre the Giant is a larger than life figure from my youth and stuff like that. As you get older, you hear stories. So a documentary on Andre the Giant, which is one of the most popular sports athletes, entertainers. So. I definitely would like to learn a little bit more and see this Andre the Giant documentary. I mean, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan slamming Andre the Giant is a classic moment in sports history.
Yeah, I'm down for this, too. I'm a big Andre the Giant fan, and, you know, that's what I did like wrestling way back when I was a child.
Even going to
Princess Bride, he was
great. Yeah, exactly.
That.
Princess Bride was an excellent movie.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
I tried to get the kids to sit down and watch it, but they'd be
Princess
like,
Buttercup.
They'd be like, no.
He's in.
My kids were just like, I'm like, this is a good movie, y'all. They're like, turn this off. Turn the game back on. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, all right.
Last night, the Clippers beat the Pelicans 112-103 without DeMarcus Cousins. The big story from the weekend, gentlemen, DeMarcus Cousins ruptures his Achilles. He is out for the remainder of the season, which is a brutal loss for the Pelicans, brutal loss for fantasy owners, and Corey, a brutal loss for DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, tough loss for DeMarcus Cousins. Obviously, July 1st was that big payday was coming up. The Pelicans were definitely in for at least $175 million. The price could have got higher than that. So you hate to see that for the young man. So a lot of different, a lot of pieces in play. A lot to unpack here on the Pelican side. A lot to unpack for Cousins and his agent, and a lot to unpack for the rest of the league because you got a 26-year-old star with a big time injury like this. So we don't know how it's going to play out. Dr. A will join the Frenzy in the 10 a.m. hour at 10 a.m. Eastern time, and the first thing we'll do is ask him about DeMarcus Cousins and his chance for recovery.
Yeah, this is like just the most unfortunate timing. He was set up, as Corey mentioned, for this huge payday. You got to just wish him the best and hopefully full recovery and could be somewhat the player he was prior. The thing is, if you're betting futures, what are the odds you're taking that the Pelicans make the playoffs today?
Yeah,
oh, that's good right there.
That's actually a really good one, Matt. You look at the NBA standings today. Of course, it's only the end of January. The Pelicans currently sit number 6, 5 games over 500, 1.5 back. The number 9, this is crazy. They must have been on a streak. You know who's number 9 right now?
Who?
The Clippers.
Clip.
Yeah, they started playing better.
DeAndre Jordan got back. Started playing together. That's the only other team that has a shot, it looks like, right now. Lakers are winning some games. Lakers are 7-3 in their last 10. Alonzo.
Well, you know I'm going to give credit. After LaVar's comments, the Lakers went on a winning streak.
With Lonzo not playing.
That's true, too.
I think Blake Griffin upped his security, got himself some more muscle. And
yeah.
Clippers are now just
I think with DeMarcus
back.
Cousins, though, like, you look at Willis McGahee comes to mind. Marcus Lattimore would have been a great one. The dude in Dallas, Jalen Smith. You know, you just when you see these things happen so close to that potential payday, it's real sad. Like, you know, I'm DeMarcus. Like, I'm surprised he didn't cry like, on the court. You know what I mean? Like, I just was like,
he actually was very like okay.
Yeah, he was okay. He was like,
well, I think that's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah,
I think he had a moment alone.
Yeah,
he was
yeah.
I actually want to cry for him.
Yeah, no, that's back. That's a lot of money, man. You feel what I'm saying? And
this is like between $7.5 million.
He got up. He felt it. He went down. He got up. He took a step. He went back down. And you could just see he put his head back. And when Anthony Davis came over, you can just see, like, he said something to Anthony Davis, and James Harden walked away. Like, James Harden was like, oh, no, and walked away. And then when he got up, Eric Gordon was looking at, you see he made eye contact with Eric Gordon, and he was shaking his head. And then you saw where, what's the bald head dude, Lucas, on the Rockets bench. He put his hand on his head, and then that's when walked him off. So I think Cousins knew while he was laying there, this is a ruptured Achilles tendon. This is unbelievable. That's crazy.
And they know right away.
Yeah, you have to.
They know. So how do you replace DeMarcus Cousins? If you're the Pelicans, you probably can't, unfortunately, because you're back with the same team that hasn't been able to make the playoffs in years. It's always a bargain basement team. And now, do you even re-sign DeMarcus Cousins? What is he going to be when he gets back from this ruptured Achilles? That's the scary question, Matt.
Yeah, no, that's a tough spot to be a GM. It's going to be a GM that knows he's like has a limited time left and is going to take a gamble, I think. He's just going to say, look, I got to sign this guy. Hopefully he comes back on Christmas Day, whatever date they put, and can help me win and get into the playoffs and save my job. That's where I think he's going to get paid from.
They lost to the Clippers, as I said, 112-103 last night for the Pelicans, 25-17 with 6 assists from Anthony Davis, and he's going to need to do this every night now.
He's got to carry the whole thing now, which is not good for him because that's too much usage on him. We've seen him struggle with injuries before.
Yeah, 41 minutes last night. 29-7 for Jrue Holiday, 18 points for each one more. The person that replaced DeMarcus Cousins in the starting lineup was Dante Cunningham, 8-7.
Yeah, 8-7 is not what Boogie brings you.
What I'll say for Anthony Davis is it's time to order some avocados.
From the TV12 clinic. Because you're going to get a lot of run. And Drew Holiday also. And that's about the best thing you can do for fantasy is see if you can make a trade for Drew Holiday.
But the Drew Holiday owners.
The Drew Holiday owners, like, you know, you can forget about that now. Yeah. You had to give me a big-time player, so.
Lou Williams led the bench in scoring. He was second on the team with 22 and 6 in 35 minutes of action for the Clippers. 27, 12, and 7 in a really nice game for Blake last night. 12 points, 19 rebounds for DeAndre Jordan.
Nineteen boards. I just don't like DeAndre Jordan.
I like DeAndre Jordan. He's good. He's worked hard to become a good player.
Those commercials don't do it for me.
Well, you skipped over Anthony Davis. You didn't give him the credit for becoming the all-time rebound leader for the
Really, for the Pelican organization?
For the Pelicans, he passed David West.
Wow, David West. David West, who still plays.
Well, you know what? So, is this like a Cleveland Browns situation where like the Ravens had like their history started in 2000?
Yeah,
like,
I'm assuming the Hornets just
kept their old history.
Maybe that's what it is.
That must be what it is.
It has to be
David West.
Like Larry Johnson at the moment, like more.
Yeah. The Hornets had players.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
LJ, Grandmama.
After getting blown out by the Knickerbockers, the Suns fell to the Rockets 113-102. 27-10-8 for James Harden in 38 minutes of action. Chris Paul had 17-5. Trevor Ariza gets hurt in this one. Trevor Ariza got hurt last night.
Was it bad? I only played 1 minute. That's he got hurt as soon as the game started.
Yeah, unless he got thrown out, which is also possible.
Yeah. Am I looking at the right box? Yeah. Wow. I didn't know Trevor Ariza got hurt.
Neither did I, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So you got to look into that.
Well, right now, Trevor Ariza left with a left hamstring injury yesterday, and he'll be reevaluated. It's really Gerald Green, I assume, that would step up in this situation, Corey.
Yeah.
Gerald Green and probably PJ Tucker, the two guys that come to mind. PJ Tucker played 26 minutes while Gerald Green played 18.
Yeah, Eric Gordon also played 30.
Eric Gordon always gets his minutes.
Yeah, he gets his minute, but he played 33 last night. Gerald Green, like you said, he got those 18 minutes. He scores 8 points, gets a steal also, did not have any assists, and he had 2 boards right there. Right quick, back to that game the other night between Houston and Pelicans when Boogie got hurt. At a moment in that game, Boogie had made a play, went to the basket, and on his way back, he just like Clint Capella. Just gave Clint Capella like a real stern, let him know I'm here type bump. And Clint Capella kind of looked back to see like, hey, what's going on? And he saw it was DeMarcus Cousins, and he was like, it's all good.
he's not somebody to mess with.
No, it's not really the type
Boogie,
of person.
Boogie's like toward top of my list.
Yeah, of not to mess
not
with
not to F with, yeah.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, just to put your head down.
Keep it moving. 31-10 for Devin Booker last night. Tyson Chandler had 11-15. This is crazy. Wow, it's a big line for Tyson Chandler.
That is a big line for Tyson Chandler. He's still getting it done. Like you mentioned, Devin Booker, though, that 31-10. Devin Booker in 41 minutes of action. Like, Devin Booker's a good player, University of Kentucky. You just wish he was on a better team.
Cleveland wins 2 in a row. How about that?
Looking at the Cavs trying to turn it around.
121-104. They wipe the floor over the Pistons. 25-14-8 for LeBron. 20-11 for Kevin Love. JR at 15. Isaiah Thomas played 27 minutes at 14. Tristan Thompson says it's the change in the lineup. Look at what's happening.
Yeah.
Whole new world.
The problem is when you think long term for the Cleveland Cavaliers and you think big picture of what they want to do, LeBron James is going to have to play way too many minutes this season. And I understand he's in his 15th year playing like he's in his 5th year, and he's probably got the Tom Brady avocados rocking too. But you just can't continue to play this amount of minutes in meaningless games just to get the Cavs there and then take on a full load in the playoffs. Also, it's too many minutes.
So this is really interesting. So this is a game that they blew him out in the fourth quarter. It was a close game until that fourth quarter. They wound up winning by 17. No other. J.R. Smith had the second most minutes for the Cavs at 29.
Yeah.
LeBron played 38 minutes.
He's played 38 minutes. This is too much for a regular season game against the Pistons at home. You know what I'm saying?
Please.
Imagine when you get to the second round and you got to play and you really have to carry this team by yourself at that point. It's just. Listen, I understand he's superhuman. I just think the minutes are going to be too much this year. they may not get out the second round.
I just think right now they're doing it just because they got to turn it around now. Yeah. Then they'll, right, you know,
maybe so.
He's back the workload.
Since firing Jason Kidd, the Bucks have won three in a row. They beat the Bulls yesterday, 110-96. And the rumor has it that this week is the week that Jabari Parker could be back.
Wow.
We'll talk more about the Bucks, the NBA tonight, and on this day in history. That's all coming your way the next half hour on Roto Experts.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
You made new pre-drink.
I know, that's crazy.
You're not seeing it was a name I was going to hear.
No.
Today or any day. Who is, that's not Jermaine Dupri. I'm not going to say that because I'm going to, no, it was not Jermaine Dupri I was thinking of. As I said, the Bucks, Jabari Parker could be back as soon as this week, coming back from a second ACL tear. Bucks are hot since getting rid of Jason Kidd. Giannis at 27-9-8, Chris Middleton at 27-5. Managed the minutes a little better too, no more in like the 40s. 35 for Giannis, 32 for Chris Middleton here against the Bulls, what you should do. 8-6 for Eric Bledsoe, 12-3 for John Henson. For the Bulls, he had 17-10 from Lauri Markkanen. They still know Chris Dunn, who has the concussion.
15. He's been out for a while.
Yeah. 15-5-4 for Jerry and Grant. 12 points for Drew Holiday, for Justin Holiday, off the bench. Denzel Valentine, who had 18-5-4. We just talked about the Pistons falling to Cleveland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Wojnarowski just reported Avery Bradley, who was just acquired this summer, officially on the trading block.
Yeah, and it's probably not going to be much you'll be able to get from him either, so. It's going to be interesting to see how they try to put this thing together. You look at so far what he's done on this seat. Nothing really, Bradley.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about another futures bet here? Knicks get the 8 seed.
No.
Seems like a silly bet.
Well, you got to get some good odds with that, though.
Seems
you
like
probably it. Would, yeah, but it's, oh, man.
Nope. The other main story from the NBA, which Matt's been itching to talk about all morning long, was Joel Embiid and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, this was what I liked in my Twitter line.
Not the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, not the Royal Rumble.
You know, I'm going to tell you right now, in about 10 minutes, you guys should just walk out. I'm going to spend 5 minutes with Jake in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah, so no,
I'm telling you right
will.
Now.
We will.
All right. Don't worry. I am out of here.
No, it was great. Because, I mean, first off, that dunk was pretty sick. And then the end of that game, you saw Russell Westbrook embracing the hate. I mean, he was just... If looks could kill, that expression, and Joel Embiid's face, like looking at him, and then like he looks away and he's hoping he's like stop looking at him, looks back, and he's still like laser focused on him, like I'm gonna get you. So
Joel Embiid to talk, but Russell Westbrook talked too. And if I'm not mistaken, these two teams had a thing a couple of earlier in the season where it was a little bit of back and forth, and Westbrook was chatting and talking it up. And stuff like that. But yeah, Westbrook.
I just think he didn't like getting dunked on
him. No, he didn't like getting dunked on him. I think Embiid said something to him after he dunked on him, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I would have said something to him.
And then people don't like Embiid because Embiid talk trash about people on Twitter. So they don't.
Correct.
They don't like that.
No, see, that I'm not down for.
For a young. Because they look. I think he does it in good fun, but he's a young player. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he means anything by it.
Westbrook.
He's got to stay healthy, though, if he's going to talk about trash.
Play, had a good year, though. Mm-hmm. 37-14-9 for Westbrook, who's become the Russell of old. That's why the Thunder are good again. 14 from 33 from the field. That's not great. Steven Adams at 20-13. Paul
this
George.
This is why they'll get eliminated from the playoffs. At 14-33?
Correct.
And that's exactly why they'll lose a series because of that. Then they're going to blame Carmelo Anthony.
Paul George at 31 last night. Melo at 16 for Philly. Joel Embiid had a really nice game. He had 27-10. It was Ben Simmons at a 22-7. Dahomey Dario Saric had 16. Robert Covington had 11.
Yeah, they got some nice pieces here. Obviously, you see that big number from Simmons in 39 minutes of action. 10-point road loss to Oklahoma City, though. I would think that they would be a little bit better than that. I think this is probably more than a five to six-point game when you have both teams at full strength. The 76ers are coming along, and they're still a player or two away, though.
How about this? The Raptors defeated the Lakers last night, 123-111, which clinched for the first time in his career. Dwayne Casey will be the head coach for Team LeBron in the All-Star game.
Yeah, Dwayne Casey taking it for the East. Well, the Team LeBron in the All-Star game. I saw that this morning, so shout out to Dwayne Casey.
The only reason for those wondering that Brad Stevens is not doing it is because coaches cannot coach All-Star games back-to-back years.
Yeah, you can't do it in back-to-back years. So Casey gets the nod this time. And his team is playing good. 35-15 right now. Likely going to be the second seed in the Eastern Conference.
And likely fall to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Second round matchup versus Cleveland with home court advantage. I don't know, man.
I'm not a fan of that. You can't coach back-to-back years.
Not
that really. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
You don't like it. Why? I don't know. Give everyone a shot. Jordan Clarkson, 17 off the bench. This team has gotten better, let's be realistic, without Lonzo Ball. Caldwell Pope at 16. Julius Randle, 17-10 for the Lakers. 14-6-4 for Brandon Ingram. For the Toronto Raptors, 25 points. I believe it was a career high for Fred Van Fleet in 20 minutes of action, the former Wichita State star. 19 for DeMar DeRozan. 14-11 for Kyle Lowry. 13-10 for Jonas Valanciunas. 11-9 for Serge Ibaka. One last game on the schedule we do want to hit. That is Sacramento and San Antonio. The Spurs take it to the Kings 113-98. Corey, how good has DeJounte Murray been since going into the starting lineup? 14-10-6.
Nobody was expecting to see you. You expected the rebounds and the assists, whatever. But what he's giving you in points and on offense was something that you weren't expected. So that's an added bonus right there for them, for the San Antonio team. So it looked like it's working out. Tony Parker still played his 21 minutes, though, but Murray is the guy on this team right now in the backcourt.
It's a little pop magic, you know. Seems to always put the right pieces in place.
Yes, it's true. Bryn Forbes off the bench, played 28 minutes, had 23-3. Danny Green effectively benched in this one for Bryn Forbes.
Yeah, what's up with that?
You know, Danny Green's love-hate relationship with Pop.
Interesting.
15 points for Manu, 11 for Patty Mills, 15-7 for LaMarcus Aldridge, Pau Gasol at 14-11 for the Kings, 26 for De'Aaron Fox, 14 points for Justin Jackson, 19 for George Hill off the bench, and Eric Cantona, 21-6 for Vince Carter.
Vince Carter still getting it done.
That's amazing.
That's crazy.
It blows my mind every time.
Vince Carter played 27 minutes last night. That's wild to me right now. Zach Randolph also put in 32 minutes, but Zach Randolph has clearly slowed down.
The NBA made the announcement last night that the winners of the All-Star game will make $100,000 per person, up from $50,000. Last year, that's double the amount. Trying to make it a little bit more competitive. The losers get 25. The winners don't get 100. It's a $75,000 difference.
So the losers should get nothing. You really want to make it... Get nothing.
I like that.
I'm down for that. Look, you really want to make it competitive and do all that. You come out here, you know, you get nothing.
See, my thing with that is, okay, I get it. Yeah, the money thing, whatever, they'll be all right.
They kept talking about it with the Pro Bowl. I listened to that Pro Bowl on the radio on my drive back to the city. And then I heard Derek Carr's name, and then I changed it. They kept talking about the money.
Yeah.
Every time they were interviewing a player,
yeah,
every player brought up the money.
Yeah, so, you know. That is a way, but I don't have a problem with the All-Star game being an exhibition. I don't have a problem with that. If the final score of the All-Star game is 202-199, to me that's a great All-Star game.
You're right, Corey, but and look, for these guys, $25,000 is nothing.
Yeah, it's true.
They really don't need it.
But $100,000 isn't nothing, is it?
But it's just the fact that you're going to go out there for that weekend, you're going to get paid for your performance, or you're not going to get paid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that just has more of a... I don't know. It would make me. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think if you get nothing versus $100,000, that's a big difference. I know even 25 and 100 is a big difference. But.
I think in the fourth quarter you'll see things start to tighten up as it becomes less of an exhibition and it gets more serious. And Steph was talking the other night, and Steph was like, people talking about like my team is trash that I put together. But what y'all don't understand is I got all the best shooters on my team, so We'll see. And so Steph is confident in his team. He does not think his team is bad. He thinks his team is going to be able to outshoot the other team in a three. And, you know, I think his team will probably be gunning from three more.
I know he's in the Sun Dunk Contest now. That's cool.
Who?
Do we know this?
Is that dude Ferguson in it?
No.
Wait, who's in the Sun Dunk Contest now?
Dennis Smith Jr. Larry Nance Jr.
Okay.
Victor Oladipo.
Okay.
Why didn't the Knicks get Dennis?
And Aaron Gordon.
Because they
wanted... They drafted French Frank.
Because French Frank ran the triangle. The guy that runs the triangle is not here no more.
French Frank.
Yeah. Larry. So it's Dennis Smith, Larry Nance...
Victor Oladipo.
Oladipo.
Aaron Gordon.
Aaron... Oh, man. It's like... Oh, it's...
It's Aaron Gordon.
I want to see that they should have put... Why didn't put the Ferguson dude in it? From Oklahoma City. Have you seen him?
Terrence Ferguson.
Mm-hmm. That does not interest me at all. And who... The three-point shootout without Steph... That takes a hit too.
So I have some of the participants for that.
Uh-huh.
It's Clay, Bradley Beal, mm-hmm. Devin Booker, Wayne Ellington, Kevin Love.
See, at least you got the stars in the three.
Those are the stars.
I mean, you got Clay is a star.
I'm putting Devin Booker money.
Booker's a star. Wayne Ellington plays. He's a Tar Heel. Something, you know. Nah, you.
I love him. Every time you got to reach, you go. He's
yeah. You can. That's a decent lineup. Obviously, you want Curry in it. You know what I'm saying?
I want Curry.
But you got Clay. I don't know why Steph didn't do it.
He didn't want to this year. Next year. He'll be back next year.
You know what? He might play for the Hornets next year.
You've been saying that for a while.
I can see that.
All right. On this day in history, 1936, the first players ever elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Can you name them, Matt?
Ty Cobb, yes. Babe Ruth, Jimmy Fox.
Nope.
Okay. Fox is probably still playing. Honus Wagner?
Yep. Two more.
Cy Young? Did I say
nope.
That? Cy Young wasn't nominated.
No, not yet.
Two more. I'm trying to think who I said. There's got to be a pitcher in there. I'm trying to think what pitcher would have gotten. Is that Cy Young?
The old bastard.
No, not yet. That wouldn't be him. Nope. I don't know.
Ty Cobb, Honus Wagner, Christy Mathewson, Walter Johnson, and Babe Ruth. There you go. 1981, Corey, Jerry Reinsdorf buys the White Sox.
Yeah, he buys the White Sox, and in 1984, he got Michael Jordan.
There you go. In 1989, how about this? After 9 years of use, the MLB dropped the official stat, game-winning RBI. That was an official stat.
I remember that used to be in the newspaper,
really?
Game-winning RBI. GWRBI.
Do you know who was the all-time leader in that stat? It was 8 years. It was 9 years of use from 1980 to 1989. Can you name the all-time leader?
Don Mattingly?
No.
I was going to say Don Mattingly.
Very close, though.
Dave Winfield.
What did I say? Ricky Henderson?
The other first baseman in New York. Keith Hernandez.
Hernandez.
That? Stash.
2002, San Diego Chargers hired Marty Schottenheimer.
Shout out to Marty.
And then hired North Turner. Happy birthday to Andre Reed.
Buffalo Bills.
Marc Gasol. 2005, Mike Piazza got married. 1987, Daryl Strawberry got divorced. I'll talk about the Royal Rumble with Jay coming up next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back with you, Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Final Five, Jake Seeley on the way in just a few moments. Coming up next, the Fantasy Frenzy with Corey, with Matt, and with Jake once we have the all-in kid available. And, well, he'll be available to Frenzy, and he's available right now. Joining us today, it's Jake Seeley. What's up, Jakey? Jakey?
What's up, Greg?
Not much, man. So, your thoughts?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, dude. Come on. There is nothing that will make you pop. Nothing.
It was entire thing. Like every other match except the Rumble was, and I didn't like the women going on last. I've never been a huge women wrestling fan. I've never been a huge women UFC fan. I don't like to see women beat up on women. It's just not my style. I knew both winners. I predicted them. It was too predictable and too mad.
So I disagree with you. Even though I didn't guess Asuka, I guess Ronda Rousey. This is one of those times, I said it on the BFF preview on Friday, that this was one of those times where I wanted to be the predictable to be right, because I wanted Shinsuke Nakamura to win. So I wanted it to happen. I thought the Men's Royal Rumble was one of the best I've ever seen. I thought it was booked brilliantly. I thought they had the crowd in the palm of their hands at all times. I thought it was an unbelievable Rumble.
Yeah, okay. That's what I said. Like, the Rumble itself, but all the rest of the matches were just...
I'll agree with that point. I'll agree with that point. Yeah.
It was a weird finish to the Brock Lesnar match, which we knew was just going to be sloppy and
horrible.
Like, it was like we knew that he wasn't going to pin Braun and he wasn't going to lose, so we knew that. The tag team, you know, they had a tough spot because they were going on right after
the Rumble.
And that's why I thought the Men's Rumble should be last. If it's the Royal Rumble, the Royal Rumble should just be last. Putting on matches after that, you screwed over Seth Rollins and that whole story, and they lost. Nobody cared that they lost the belts. Nobody cared that Jason Jordan didn't even get in the ring because he was woozy to set up another storyline, which we all know was expected, but they were screwed because they were right after the Rumble.
Yeah, so I would have.
That was a big problem.
Jake, I would have probably switched the tag titles, right? Like, just put Gable and the Usos on after the Rumble, probably.
Yeah.
I would have just switched those two matches.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And I don't understand. That's another one I don't understand. Like, I know it's a little mix up because everything, best of the three, and it always goes down to the third one, the second. And so that was switching things up by going 2-0. But why are you getting 2-0 against Shelton Benjamin and Gable when you're just building them up? It kind of looks like you squashed them.
All right, so I think it's fair. I think all your critiques are fair. I thought the Owens and Zayn match was like weird. It was meh. So,
I will definitely agree with you on one thing. It was one of the best. Like, if you just took the Men's Rumble by itself, it was one of the best ever.
It was amazing. And they were so smart. Like I said, they had the crowd and the palm in their hands at all times. They knew exactly how they were going to react to everything, and it worked, man. It worked.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I loved it. But once they had the Men's Rumble in the middle of the card, you knew Ronda Rousey was going to come out to end the show, right? Like, she had to.
Yep. And that was I'm happy that she signed full-time. This isn't going to be a Brock Lesnar thing, because that's what I was most concerned about.
Right.
But also, at the same time, if you're building this whole women's thing, and you're building the fact that Asuka wins and now gets to pick who she's going to face, but she's going to have pick Bliss, so they could do Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte, D'Angelo Williams tweeted it out last night, and I retweeted what he said. 100%. Like, everything you just did for this Rumble, everything you've been doing for the women's division is totally undone by having Rousey walk in and get a title match at WrestleMania.
So I don't know. So that was very unclear, to be fair, what was going to happen. So it was Asuka standing in the middle of Charlotte and Alexa Bliss. Who is she going to choose? Ronda comes out. I honestly thought Asuka was just going to point to Rousey, and that would be the match, Asuka versus Rousey. I don't think it was very, very clear what they were going to do. I still think there's a chance we'll see Asuka versus Charlotte, and then Ronda Rousey teaming up with somebody to face Triple H and Steph. I think that's a possibility, too. I don't think it was clear, and I think that's okay, because I think that it brings questions for tonight, right? Like, you want to know what's going to happen. You want to see it, and you want to hear it, and you want to figure it out. They'll also announce the Elimination Chamber, which Roman will win, which will be great. So a lot going on tonight. I enjoyed
put
it.
Her in a women's one.
Maybe. That'd be cool too.
I could deal
All right,
that.
Jake Seely will talk Zero Wrestling over the next hour with Corey Parson and Matt Modica. For more wrestling talk, you'll have to listen to On Target later with Jake, Joe, and Chris. My name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic rest of your day. We will see you tomorrow.